Welcome to the Plain Label Podcast, episode 66.
66!
Oh no! Don't start to doubt yourself! Be confident!
Be confident! Be confident!
Look, I got a baby Ruth, sir.
Pardon. And now, the final crown clutch to this cake.
Baby,
I'm gonna throw it to you, okay?
Put it in a bowl. You shake yourself.
Hello and welcome to the Plain Label Podcast. I'm your host Eric Williams, and along with me is my good friend and co-host Mrs. Rachel Zeleg.
Voila!
In this episode, we are beginning our new theme of childhood favorites. And for this episode, we're going to take a look at the films The Neverending Story and The Goonies. Before getting into our discussion, we would like to mention that we are proud members of the Deliberate Noise Network. Head over to deliberatenoise.com and check out some of the other shows that are over there. Mrs. Zeleg, drink roll call. What do you got for me?
I came home and cracked open a great Bud Light Lime, and that's what I'm drinking.
A great Bud
Light. It is good. It's refreshing. It's hot outside.
Yes, it is hot. It is hot, so I am going with
grapefruit vodka.
Grapefruit vodka.
Weird.
Yeah, it's warm.
It's muggy. It is warm.
It's fucking July or August weather.
Yes.
Ridiculous. Okay, so these two are very close together, but the first one is my pick, and it is from 1984. And it is The Neverending Story.
What is the secret of this enchanted book? What wonders are hidden within its pages? What magical spell does it cast on all who read it? What is the secret of the never-ending story?
But that's impossible!
Enter a world where a young boy's imagination becomes a vivid reality. The world of Atreyu and Artax, the Rockbiter, and the good and kind gnome. A world that is vast and eternal, treacherous and dazzling, unforgettable and free. For anyone who's ever made a wish, believed in a fantasy, or had a dream, this is The Neverending Story.
Bastian is a young boy who lives a dreary life being tormented by school bullies. Wow. On one such occasion, he escapes into a bookshop where the old proprietor reveals an ancient storybook to him, which he is warned can be dangerous. Shortly after, he borrows the book and begins to read it in the school attic, where he is drawn into the mythical land of Fantasia, which desperately needs a hero to save it from destruction.
Mm-hmm. So, this is a film that I had watched when I was a child, obviously, as the theme would suggest.
Yes.
A lot of my picks are going to be around this 84 to 87 range.
Right, because that was like our wheelhouse.
Yeah. And,
not so much me, I was one.
I was old enough to watch them. I didn't go to the movies to see either one of these, but, I had VHS tapes of both of them.
Oh yeah.
I now have both of them on DVD. The Neverending Story is one where fairly recently I was in Target, I believe. Yeah, I was in Target. And occasionally you can stroll through Target's selection and find some $5 movies.
Yeah.
And it's pretty bare bones. There's not a lot of features or anything like that, but it's
Sharknado 2.
Yeah. I'm sure it's coming soon. But, for it being $5, I was like, oh, what the hell? And, I asked the little one, I was like, have you heard of The Neverending Story? And she's like, no. I was like, okay, well, we're going to watch it. Cause you know, she really likes Spirited Away, which has a dragon in it.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of what this reminded me of, actually.
Yeah. And so I was like, okay, well, this has Falcor. He's a dragon. We'll watch this and see what we think. And I was a little apprehensive because I knew that there's the nothing is pretty intense.
Yeah.
I know that the wolf, which the wolf. I don't really know what the name of the wolf is, but it's scary.
Finstein.
It's a scary ass wolf. I know that. And then, the horse scene.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I figured that would be a little intense for her. And she watched it and loved it. And what was nice was I got to watch it kind of through her eyes a little bit.
Right.
You know, it's a film where obviously watching it, you're like, oh, okay, well, this is the early to mid 80s. So the effects aren't wonderful. especially when you see like Falcor flying through the sky and picking a Atreyu up out of the swamp. You're like, oh boy, that's rough.
Yeah.
So there's some things that don't look, up to maybe today's standards, but I think a lot of it has a nice practical feel, so it's got a little bit more charm than some CG. But yeah, so I really enjoyed this one as a child, and I rewatched it a few times recently and enjoyed it again. But this is a first watch for you. So what did you think of this?
Yeah, I don't understand why I had never, like, I've obviously heard, you know, about this movie. I knew, like, you picture this movie and you picture the kid riding the dragon.
Yeah.
You picture in your head. And so I don't know why I had never seen it. It was just not one of the ones that made it to the Cruise family home. But, like, I tried to, like, watch it as a little kid would watch it, too.
Sure.
If you try to watch it now, so long from when it was made, and also as a semi-grown-up, you know, it's not going to definitely. So I was, like, trying to watch it if I were a little kid. And I can probably say that if I were a little kid watching this, I would have, like, eaten this shit up.
Mm.
He goes into a bookstore.
Right.
Right away, you have my attention.
Running from bullies to a bookstore.
Right. Well, the ironic part about me was I was the reader and also the bully, so, like, that's a twofer.
I find that really hard to believe.
But he skips school to go read a book, like, I've been there. And the funniest thing I wrote in one of my notes was, like, that was, like, the most intense reading I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, yeah.
He
is in it.
But that is almost exactly the same as how I read Hunger Games.
Really?
He throws the book. I did that once. I mean, like that, that's, I was laughing because I'm going to send this movie to my little sister who's obviously never seen it either, but I'm going to be like, I bet this is how you also read Hunger Games. Cause nice.
Fuck you, PETA.
Right? Well.
Let's see. You're going to be like that.
Get out of here, PETA, you little bitch. Okay. So. Yes. So I mean, like, obviously, there are some parts that are very cliche. We need a hero. It's a little boy, you know, like, and yeah, the graphics aren't amazing. My favorite was at the beginning with the rock and like.
The rock biter, yeah.
And you can tell that there's like a scene, like a shot or whatever, where the roller's coming, and you can tell that the people, quote, on the ground are just like minis. Like figures.
Yeah.
Because they're not moving. But I mean, like, I get it. It's 1984. What do you want? So.
Yeah. It's also what's interesting about this is, you know, this was based on a book.
Okay.
It is a, you know, and this gives you a little clue of the time. It's a 1984 West German film. So not just German, but a West German film.
That's weird.
Because that was the thing. But it's based on the novel, of the same name. And the film is actually based on just the first half of the novel.
Really?
Yeah, so.
That makes sense, I guess, the way it ended.
Yeah, and the author felt like this is according to Wikipedia, so it's not like I have some kind of Cameron-esque like knowledge.
Gotcha.
And he says that, you know, the content deviated so much from his book that he requested that either they halt production or change the name. And they didn't do either, and he sued them, and he lost.
Really?
So, you know, it does say that the film only adapts the first half of the book and does not convey the message of the title. And
yeah, oh shit.
And then the second half of the book was used as a rough basis for the second film. And there has been a second film as well as a third one, and they get about as good as you would expect. Sequels that you would never, you know, you've never heard of. This is a very successful film in Germany. I mean, the box office, again, according to that reputable Wikipedia page.
Love it.
Does have it listed as $100 million.
Really?
Yeah. So if that's right, it apparently did a lot of money.
But, so I have a weird question, and I don't know if you can answer this or not.
Uh-huh.
That sounded okay. Anyway, so the effects were 80s-tastic.
Yeah.
Are the special effects, like, I know that they're mostly all computerized now.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are, they're a lot more computer centered.
Sure.
Is it more expensive now to do, like, those type of special effects, or was it more expensive then to, like, build all those weird animatronic things and...
I think it's tough to say. I think a lot of it depends on how much money they're wanting to dump into it. Cause it's all, I think it's more just about the time that it takes and how much money that's costing the company that's doing it or, you know.
Okay. Cause I was thinking like box office flop, you know, like how we had to factor in how much like
the stuff. Sure. Yeah. But I don't know. I would think that, I would tend to think it's more expensive now. Because I think because I think that you could probably, because like the Rock Biter and the Bat and those things, like, he's obviously not, he's a puppet.
Right, and once you make it, or however many you need, based on the face, you're probably done.
Yeah, so all you gotta do is move the mouth around and, you know, move the hands a little bit.
You're right, that makes sense.
So I don't know. I mean, because I don't think that, you know, I could be completely wrong, but I don't think that, like Jim Henson's, it's the Muppets or whether it's like the Dark Crystal or something like that. Like, I don't think those are huge, in terms of cost.
Yeah, I don't,
if they were to animate it or CGI it, I think it would cost a lot more than that. What it does say here about the box office is it said it did very well, grossing $100 million worldwide against a budget that was approximately, $27 million at the time. So it said it grossed about $20 million in Germany and about the same in the US. So it was that's a pretty big hit. It's also a Wolfgang Petersen film. And it was his first English language film. And what I wonder about that is none of these actors are recognizable.
Right.
So it's all these German actors. So I wonder if it's like, they do a take in German and then a take in English, or if they just did a take in, because the mouths synced up too well for it to be dubbed, I thought.
Oh yeah, I don't think it was dubbed.
So it had to be, you know, one and then take, you know, a cut and then do it again.
How weird to turn your brain like that.
That seems strange.
I bet the yelling is way better in German.
Maybe. I was about to attempt something, but I'm not.
I feel like I thought you might, but then you're like.
I was inching towards it and was like, nah.
Maybe.
Yeah, but Wolfgang Petersen, for those that may not know, he's probably best known for Air Force One, Troy.
I saw that for the first time the other day.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He did Air Force One, Troy, The Perfect Storm, Outbreak.
Ugh.
You know, there's a bunch of movies he's done. He's a pretty famous,
action-y.
Pretty famous guy. So, I want to talk a little bit about the end of this. And we already talked about how this is kind of just the first half. So the title doesn't make a lot of sense.
Right. At all.
But what did you think of, this kind of fourth wall breaking, this bringing the person who's reading the story into the story? Like, what did you make of that, where Bastian gets kind of involved with the story that he's reading?
Well, I mean, they kind of allude to, you know, like, oh, this is a special book, the creepy guy in the bookstore that's just smoking a pipe, waiting for little kids to come in.
Just waiting to give out this book.
Right. You know, and he's like, oh, this is more special than any other book, blah, blah, blah. And so, like, you know that it's going to be something interesting, but Did you ever see Pagemaster, I think it was called, with Macaulay Culkin?
Oh, no, I haven't.
Okay, he gets, it was 90s, so like, they copied that. I mean, like, if anybody went first, it was this one, but he gets, like, stuck in the library in a thunderstorm or something and jumps into the books.
Hmm.
And so it wasn't, like, a total, I mean, like, obviously it wasn't, like, a mind blow for me, but, I think they did it pretty well, because, like, there was, like, a chance where it would be, like, I thought it was going to, like, hologram into the story, and I would have been like, oh, no.
Right.
But, like, but, you know, it seemed legit, like, the lights go out, and all of a sudden that little girl's there, like, say my name.
Kinda. Yeah, you know, and real quick about that, I was watching it this time, I was very frustrated that I couldn't understand what he was saying. When he has to name her.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I already picked out the name. And then he like says something into the thunderstorm.
Yes.
And you can't make out really what he's saying. What he's saying is in the book, he says the name Moonchild. But it's debated. It's like, it's not clear what it is that the actor's actually saying.
Cause if his mom's name is Moonchild.
Right. And that's why that's another thing that, you know, reading up a little bit on this, it says that, you know, he basically alludes that he knows what name he's going to give her, and it's, you get the impression that it's the same as the mom, but I don't know that he specifically says that it's the same as his mom.
Yeah, I mean, like, where else would I have gotten that? I'm pretty sure he says it's my mom's name.
Then I don't know what the Moonchild thing is about, because that's what he says in the book, and I don't know what, because I thought I thought he just alluded to it, but if you said specifically that it's the same as his mom's name, then I don't know what to tell you.
Maybe her parents were hippies or something.
Yeah, okay, here it is, in the Wikipedia. Thank you, Wikipedia.
God, I love Wikipedia.
It says, Bastion races to the attic window and shouts the name Moonchild, in parentheses, his deceased mother's name, before the wind outside extinguishes the candles and sends the room into darkness.
It's weird.
So his Bastion's, you know, mom's name's Moonchild.
You wouldn't think that Major Dad would go for a Moonchild.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about, how there were a bunch of German actors and, you know, no one's recognizable. And then I was like, oh, well, I guess Major Dad.
Major Dad is in there drinking orange juice and eggs.
Egg orange juice. Yeah, because Anna goes, we have her eat eggs almost every morning. And she saw that and she's like, ugh, that's weird.
It is weird. Cook your eggs. It's not a big deal. It takes like 2 minutes.
That's true. It does. Oh, I didn't know he was still alive.
So my other question is, like, and I don't know how this is in the book, but this little kid's mom has died, like a year ago, I think.
Something like that.
And the dad's like, I understand you're sad, but it was a year ago, so we need to move on. You need to do your soldier-like duty or whatever he says. And then at the end of the movie, they're like, and he goes on many other adventures.
Right.
So is his dad like, I gave him this pep talk and he disappeared forever. So I made him run away or he got kidnapped and that's like the last thing you told him was to like suck it up. That dad has to feel awful.
That ending is pretty problematic when you kind of start pulling on it a little bit, because it's like, so wait a minute. So Falcor just is in the real world now? Because he's chasing the bullies down?
Well, that was one of his wishes.
Right, but it's okay, like, I would not wish just, hey, here, my wish is that I'm gonna ride you and we're gonna scare these bullies and then you can just go away. Okay.
Well, you can tell that this, like, obviously you can tell it's an 80s movie, but like, if this was made now, like, there would definitely be like a talking it out with the bullies.
Oh, yeah.
And just like them being put in the dumpster.
Well, I like that it's like, you know what? These bullies are just dicks.
They are dicks.
That's all they are.
They made him go back into the dumpster even after he got out.
Not again.
Not again.
Oh, yeah. So I did want to mention that I love the cover, poster for this.
Yeah, it is pretty.
Actually, for both of these movies that we'll be discussing. Like, I missed the time when it was a painting.
Like an art form, yeah.
Yeah, like an art piece instead of a picture.
Like someone's face.
Yeah. Just a picture of somebody.
You two pose in your craziest smiles.
Yeah. And, you know, what's funny is I'm looking at that, and then here at IMDb, I'm seeing pictures of nothing but, very staged pictures.
Right.
But, you know, the 80s, especially with Goonies and several other movies, Drew Struzan used to do a lot of the covers and it's a thing where everyone looks a little bit more real than real. Like it's not a direct representation.
Sure.
And I really like that. And I like how in this cover, you know, we have Falcor flying and we have the boy on top and we have the rock biter and the little, guy with the bat that does the big dumb bat or whatever, the stupid bat.
Yeah.
And the girl, and the only thing that was problematic for me about the girl is she looks much older in the picture than she does in the movie.
Yeah, I was surprised.
She's like a little tiny girl in the actual film. And so I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm not, I'm not upset about it, but I was like, wow, that's interesting.
She was like shockingly pretty.
Mm.
It was like it's like a very pretty child.
Yeah.
Wonder what she looked like when she grew up.
I don't know. She's probably around the same age as me-ish. You know, she's probably just a few years older, so it's not like she's 75.
Right. Well, she might have gotten into some drugs. She was a child actor.
Dang.
I'm just spitballing.
Her name is Tammy Spronach or something. The Childlike Empress is her name. So I don't know, like, I think that, it's an interesting film because it has all of this fantasy aspects. It has, you know, the idea of, is this, what's going on with this book? You know, Fantasia's this world who is like kind of bleeding into the real world. We also have the stuff of, is a lot of this just this kid, you know, having problems, like having some mental problems.
Right. Yes. For a while, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. Because he's so, you know, it's so much about him. And it's like, well, I wonder, like, is this actually happening then? Or.
Right. Is he just like, well, and for a second, I thought that he was the hero.
Oh, Atreyu. Yeah. Kind
of lookalike. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, well, shit. Like, we're getting right into it.
Yeah. It took Anna a little bit to get me to convince her that Atreyu wasn't a girl.
Fair enough.
Because she's like, no, it looks like a girl. I was like, well, I get, yeah, it does. He is very feminine in the face, but I was like, sweetie, if it was a girl, he wouldn't have his shirt unbuttoned like that.
Slut.
And she's like, oh, okay. What did you think of the big naked sphinxes with the boobs all over the place?
I was thinking little Eric probably very much enjoyed that.
I was like, oh, damn, this movie's good.
Yeah. Like, oh man, you want to come over and watch Neverending Story? There's a part where they show boobs. Like, I can picture you, like, friends at.
Big ones, too.
Boobs.
Yeah.
Look, okay, so I have a couple questions.
Mm-hmm.
Is the dragon, like, the stoner best friend?
Kind of.
Because I feel like he is high a little bit.
Yeah.
It's like, how do we get there? And he's like, I have no idea. Like, we're just here to fly around. But
yeah, where he's like, he doesn't really know. He's just kind of like, yeah, whatever, man. You know, we'll just figure it out.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, with the Falcor the dragon, the luck dragon with the huge dog eyes and dog nose.
Right.
And Anna just loves him. She just is like, you know, anytime she sees, like, now that she sees, when she watches Spirited Away, she's like, oh, I think Haku is a luck dragon too. I'm like, okay. That's
whatever.
Fine. Yeah, fine.
I'm not going to argue on that one.
That's what you wanted to be. I don't care.
Yeah, shit. let's see, in my notes, what in the hell kind of a school has an attic like that?
Oh, I know. Apparently they were big into drama. They must have had a huge drama
department.
Budget. Yeah. Because they have that expansive attic with these crazy, you know, it's like the storm is so bad that it's just opening all these windows and shit's flying all over the place. But damn, it sure looked nice and tidy when he first went up there. You know, it's like, I'm sure there's several other storms that would have knocked over all of this stuff.
Well, and I mean, like, it was pretty dirty, but, like, there are candles up there, so you know some teachers are meeting up there to bang.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, that's why he knows where the key is. Like, it's, like, in that secret place where some of the teachers are going. So
I could have gone for him, like, looking at the blanket and been like, ugh. Well, whatever.
Crack it in half.
He just looks at it and is like, oh, gross. This smells weird.
Oh, what is that?
So that would have been funny.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so this is one that I enjoyed quite a bit. It was, you know, did you, can you see how a 7, 8, 9-year-old me would have been torn up about the horse in the swamp?
Yeah, well, and, like, that's where I was trying to watch it, like, a little kid, because as an adult, I'm like, we're all progressing with emotions a little too quickly here.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you just meet him and his horse dies, and that kid is, like, losing his shit reading the book. I'm like, someone needs to just calm down a little bit.
But especially that, you know, he was talking about how he's read all of these other books, like The Lord of the Rings and
right.
all of this other stuff. And I'm like, damn, like, this little kid is like this in every book. Like, what a mess.
What an emo little.
Yeah. He definitely needed more side bang if he was going to be so emo.
That wasn't, like, cool, though, in the 80s, was it? I don't know.
I don't know. I guess not. Maybe in Germany it wasn't.
But my question was, like, the horse sinks because it's depressed about horse things. And yeah. Then the kid loses his horse, but he doesn't, like, immediately sink into the mud, which I was surprised about.
He believes in himself.
Yeah. Okay.
And he's, you know, he's upset, but he's got to learn to care and all of the other things that he's yelling at the horse.
Right.
You know.
But, like, I do enjoy how they got the horse to do crazy eyes.
Oh, yeah. The horse is like, I am not getting out of this shit.
Right.
You know, like, I don't know what this is, but I am staying right here. It was tough for me because, you know, growing up, when we would go on family vacations on my mother's side, they had horses.
Oh.
And so I used to ride horses fairly often, like, so not
this
like
hit real close to home.
Yeah, and so I was like, oh shit. You know, like, I've been on a horse. I can relate.
I'm also a child.
I'm a little boy.
And I've been in mud.
Yeah. This would suck. So yeah, that part was tough. And the other thing that I find interesting is this film does not spoon feed a lot. And I really appreciate that watching it now because, you know, we get to the end with the nothing and with its representation of this wolf. And the wolf starts, like, talking in all of these, like, artsy-fartsy, like, highfalutin philosophical terms.
Yeah.
And, you know, about this means nothing and this is everything and this is, you know, just this, that, and the other. And just saying all of these things. That now it would be like, oh, I'm the bad guy. I'm trying to kill you.
Right. Yeah, I get what you're saying.
And I like how, you know, the wolf doesn't know that it's Atreyu. So he's just like, hey, here's a guy. I'm just going to talk a lot to him.
I was supposed to kill this kid. Well, that's me. So fuck you.
Yeah. And then he gets the crazy wolf eyes and just pounces. And I was glad that that wasn't some phony looking CGI or Muppet attempt or puppet attempt with the battle. I'm
right.
Glad that it just kind of flung itself at
a right. And then
stabbed it.
Yeah, you're right. It would have been like pretty bad to watch.
Mm-hmm. That would have been pretty tough. So I think that for the limitations that they had, they tried to skirt around the things that they didn't necessarily need.
Yeah.
On the screen. Yeah. So I think they did a pretty good job of that. So did you have anything else about the Neverending Story?
No, I went through, I mean, like, it was, like, from the very beginning, I'm like, yeah, this is totally 80s, like, mm-hmm. The cloud cover, and then, like, the sweet song. So, yeah. Yeah, I'm glad that I finally watched it after, you know, 30 years of not seeing it, so.
Yeah, of 29 years.
Good to have that under my belt.
Or 30 years, I guess it is now, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, we're going to move on to our next film. It is Rachel's selection. It is from 1985, and it is The Goonies.
Yeah, it is.
Steven Spielberg presents The Goonies, a Richard Donner film.
Time chunk.
Hey, my found the map.
Whoa, you guys realize what we could do?
I don't want to go on any more of your crazy Goonie adventures.
Meet Mikey.
I gotta go to the bathroom.
Brand. Andy.
Shame, shame.
Come on, Brand. Slipper the tongue.
That's disgusting. No, I can't even look.
Mouth.
I gotcha. Now get out from behind her. You're ruining the painting.
You're ruining my job.
Stephanie. Data.
Body painter.
Ow.
Guys, isn't that neat?
And Chunk.
Flopped.
They call themselves the Goonies. They've stumbled onto a legend, but they're not alone.
Chunk, I hope that was your stomach.
No. That's the it.
Sounds like Kong.
Discover what they uncover.
It was rubies and emeralds and diamonds?
The lost map.
Oh, this started the tunnel.
The secret caves.
Hey, Mikey, you can hear me. Run! Run! They're coming after you!
Juggler!
The hidden clues.
Mikey!
The treacherous traps.
Well, murder!
Just like that last prank about all those little creatures that multiply when you throw water on them.
Take the oath.
Somebody's coming!
Join the adventure as Steven Spielberg presents The Goonies, a Richard Donner film.
Mikey Walsh and Brandon Walsh are brothers whose family is preparing to move because developers want to build a golf course in place of their neighborhood, unless enough money is raised to stop the construction of the golf course, and that's quite doubtful. But when Mikey stumbles upon a treasure map of the famed One-Eyed Willie's hidden fortune, Mikey, Brandon, and their friends Lawrence Chunk Cohen, I didn't even know that was the last name, Clark Mouth Devereaux, Andrea Andy Carmichael, Stephanie Steph Steinbrenner, and Richard Data Wang, calling themselves the Goonies, set out on a quest to find the treasure in hopes of saving their neighborhood. The treasure is in a cavern, but the entrance to the cavern is under the house of the evil thief Mama Fratelli and her sons Jake Fratelli and Francis Fratelli and the severely disfigured Lotney Sloth Fratelli. Sloth befriends the Goonies and decides to help them. Wow.
Mm-hmm. So this is the Goonies. This is your pick, so this tell me.
Good enough for me.
Tell me about you and the Goonies.
Me and the Goonies go way back.
Mm-hmm.
I remember watching the Goonies, like a long time ago. Like, I think it was on Halloween one year even, and I watched it on a black and white TV in our kitchen, so like, way old. But this was like a favorite for us to watch, like huge into treasure maps and stuff like that. Like, I even remember, like taking, I don't know if you did this, but I took a piece of paper and like squished it up and ripped the edges and made myself a treasure map and pretended that I was going to get a treasure.
Nice. No, I never did do that.
Oh.
I feel like I missed out.
We can do it. You can come over.
I'm sure Anna would love it.
I'm like, you want to play Goonies? And back when my sister was like, heck yeah. So we would make our own treasure maps. You like make them look old and stuff. We were weird, but.
Nice. Who had to play, Chunk?
We probably made Katie. She's always the one that, like, even if we ever let her play with us, which most of the time we were assholes to her, so if she got to play, she would definitely have been Chunk. So, or Sloth.
Oh, man, just saying Baby Ruth all day. Rocky Road.
So, yeah, I mean, this was just one that, you know, it's like one of those where it's so old you can't remember the first time you watched it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so,
yeah, that's where I am in terms of not remembering. Is I've seen this so many times that it's hard to exactly pinpoint when the first time was. I feel like I may have just stumbled across it and seen part of it and then, you know, caught another part and then finally sat and watched it all. You know, one of those sort of deals.
Right.
It is funny to me looking at some of the people, like, you know, I knew Josh Brolin was in it and I remember him being in it and watching it with him now, like, he's incredibly young.
Bran.
Wow. Carrie Green playing Andy has a very irritating voice.
Oh man. And you know what's so funny is even then I wanted to be the snarky one with the glasses.
Oh, Martha Plimpton.
Yeah. I never wanted to be. I mean, I was never like, oh, you know how, like, when you're little, you're like, I'm that one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was always like, oh, I'm the snarky one of the classes. Oopsie doodle.
That's good. Yeah. That's good. You didn't want someone going, Rachel, you goony.
You goony.
Yeah. So upset about it.
I know. So mad.
That guy. Sheesh.
But they never say die, so legit.
That's true. So one of the things that I thought was interesting about this is the actual term Goonie, because I just thought it was like, you know, they're just like goons or something, you know, they
sure,
called them.
I have no idea what it is.
But
so.
It says over at Wikipedia.
Wikipedia.
It says living in the Goondocks neighborhood of Astoria, Oregon. They face foreclosure on their family's homes from the expanding Astoria Country Club, blah, 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 blah. So that's just the part of town that they're in. And so since this little crew are all from the same area and would hang out, that's why they called themselves the Goondocks.
I think I remember Sean Austin, like, lisping the Goondocks in the movie, actually.
Really? Because he like, mumbles so much.
Yeah.
And everything's so precious when he talks. You're like, this is our time.
Oh, my gosh.
Down here.
I don't know how many times I've given that pep talk before we've, like, gone out.
This is our time.
Yeah.
That's their time up there.
There.
I could just see you pep talking your sisters.
Oh, yeah.
Mom and Dad are having alone time in there.
Their time.
Their time.
Time. Anywhere else.
This is our time to pick on Katie right here.
It's our time to pick.
Yeah. Well, she deserves it.
Yeah.
So watching this again, I was really not as in love with Corey Feldman as I used to be. Cause I remember like, oh, he's the real wise ass one. Like, oh, he's so funny. And then now I watch it and I'm like, this fucking punk little kid, like, fuck this little guy. You know, watching it now, like, oh God, I'm glad I don't have a kid like this.
I know, right? It's so funny watching something as a grown up. And one of the things that I noticed that pissed me off is when he's in the water and he's spitting water out of his mouth.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, stop it.
Yep.
But he doesn't care what I think, especially in 1985.
No, he does not. And then I love that, you know, the Data's in it.
Data.
Jonathan Kee Kwan is his name. But he, you know, this and Temple of Doom is what I know him from.
Yeah, we just watched that at my parents' house the other day. Dr. Jones!
And so he, you know, those are his claim to fame. I mean, he has a whole 5 movies that he's been in. He was, you know, Short Round in Temple mm-hmm. of Doom, and then he's in Goonies, then he was in Breathing Fire and Encino Man and Second Time Around, and I have not seen Second Time Around or Breathing Fire. It's interesting that he's so implanted in my mind as a child actor.
Yeah.
He's only in like 5 films.
But they were like, he picked the good ones. Some of them were really, you know, like, if you're going to be in some movies, be in like Indiana Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And ones that are going to last forever.
It is a little unfortunate that he's such a stereotype. Like where he can barely speak English.
Right.
And he's talking about booty traps and that's what I said.
That's what I said, booty traps.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous because second generation Asian people that I run into speak perfectly unaccented English.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they just showed up. I don't know.
Maybe.
They don't really.
It's tough to say. He just showed up right before.
Because his dad, the very little that you see of them, he doesn't speak any English, does he?
No, I don't believe so.
So
I don't know.
Neither does the maid.
Oh yeah. This is a very American film, to where it's, you know, it's a melting pot. It's all of these different cultures and ethnicities, and you know, and that's one of the things that's kind of nice looking back on it is, you know, yes, they do give the fat kid a hard time, but a lot of what he gets shit for is, you know, he deserves it.
He's a liar.
He's a crazy bad liar, too.
Is this like the time you saw Michael Jackson at Pizza Hut?
Okay, Michael Jackson didn't come to my house, but his sister did.
His sister did.
It's just, I love one of my favorite parts of the movie is when Chunk is telling the puking story.
Of course it is.
Oh my god.
It's one of the, oh man. Okay. Oh, Todd.
So good. I just love that. I love the throw up sounds that he's doing. He's just so remorseful of it. And I love that main Fratelli brother or son or whatever, you know, saying, I'm starting to like this kid.
Yeah. Like, if any one of them was going to get kidnapped, it definitely should have been him.
And I do like that Joey Pants is Francis. Joey Pantoliano from, later Teddy in Memento and,
Matrix films.
Yeah.
I don't wear a hairpiece.
Yeah, he takes it off when the fake bats are coming through.
Yeah, and that mom is like the worst. She's like the scariest.
Oh yeah, it's Anne Ramsey as Mama Fratelli, and she died in 1988. But she
really,
she was another woman who is just perfect for the role that she was cast in.
Yeah. I only know her from this and Throw Mama from the Train.
Yeah, that's her two main things. Yeah, and she was, I guess she was in Scrooged as well. I didn't see her when we did that movie.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
That was just full of other crazy shit going on.
She was in a lot of stuff, but yeah, she died in
19- I didn't realize she died 3 years after she made The Goonies. That's crazy.
It's crazy. She was on Alf once too.
Shit.
But she definitely has the type of face that you recognize.
Well, in the voice, like, just the whole package of frightening. And she, like, slaps her sons. And.
Oh, yeah. What's crazy is, when she died in 88, she was only 59 years old.
Huh.
And she was actually born in Omaha, Nebraska.
Really? Claim to fame.
I guess.
We got another one, guys.
Yeah. Why don't we start claiming her, guys?
Yeah.
Famous people from Nebraska.
You can't say her name because nobody will say it. You'll just have to say Mom from the Goonies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I think is interesting now watching this film is I can imagine how much of a whooping these kids would have got when they got home.
I don't know.
You
don't
did what?
I don't sound punishment very well.
Well, the mom is like a real hard case. Mikey's mom.
You mean she should be taking prescription medication?
Yeah, she should be.
Yeah.
For sure. Because she's, you know, she's got the bad arm, whatever.
Yeah.
I guess that is like a reason for her hiring a woman who can't speak English.
To help her pick up.
Which to help her pack. Which is funny because it's like, well, how did she meet this woman? She just saw her, like, who wants to be, like, she was like, you know, a day worker, and just picked her up and was like, you want to pack some clothes? Okay.
Right.
Like, here, follow me. And, you know, Mouth has the wonderful sex slave stuff. And
this is where he keeps his sex toys.
Yeah. And then I will say right off that one of Anna's favorite, you know, she watched this and really enjoyed this also.
Because it's amazing.
And this was the first time that she had seen it clearly, but, one of the parts that got her the most was the broken statue.
The penis.
Yes.
Because it's hilarious.
And she laughed so hard and was like, oh, they broke the pee-pee. And just laughing about the broken pee-pee and just thought it was the funniest thing. Now, she didn't understand, like, she doesn't know what pissing is. So when they say, you know, if God made us like that, we'd be pissing on our faces. She didn't get that. But so in a few years, once she figures that out, she'll get a little extra bonus joke there.
More hilarity. Do you not remember as a little kid thinking that was hilarious?
Oh, yeah, absolutely I did. Okay. Yeah, I thought that was really good, especially, you know, Chunk and his dropping things and breaking
stuff. Oh, shit, what?
Yeah, and she was like, he keeps saying bad words. And I was like, whoa, there is a lot of shits in this movie.
Yeah, there are. Like, that's why it's funny. It's like a badass little kid movie.
Mm-hmm.
It was more hilarious for us being all three girls, not growing up with a pee-pee, thinking that was super funny.
Yeah, I can see myself, like, laughing, but then being like, I don't know, that's not that funny. Like, let's not joke about breaking pee-pees, guys. Like, let's not think that that's a thing.
Oh, man. And, I mean, this is obviously totally 80s movie, too, because if you have a Cyndi Lauper video in your movie...
Oh, yeah.
It's ultimately 80s.
You know, that is the thing that's been kind of brewing in my mind, is what do we close out with? Do we close the show with the Cyndi Lauper or with the Never-Ending Story?
No.
It's got to be
Cyndi. It's got to be Cyndi.
With Roddy Piper. With Roddy Piper in the video.
See?
God, how 80s is that? What's funny is that this relates to our show somewhat, is the Goonies opened with $9 million, right? And that was second in the U.S. behind Rambo First Blood Part 2.
Well, that only makes sense.
So you did get a nice choice to either go with the Rambo or the Goonies.
Right? Yeah. These summer movies this year are sucking. I wish I was back in 1985.
That's true. But yeah, so they had the song that you're talking about is, you know, the cast appeared alongside Roddy Piper and Captain Lou Albano in the Goonies Are Good Enough music video.
Good enough. Yeah, she wrote a whole song for this movie.
Yeah, she sure did. I like that Cyndi Lauper was just kind of crazy.
She's still kind of crazy. She does whatever the hell she wants.
Yeah, that's nice. It's like, what would a modern Cyndi Lauper be? Like a Lady Gaga or something?
No.
She's like a Cyndi Lauper and Madonna mixed together.
But Cyndi Lauper's more fun. I would say Katy Perry.
But Cyndi Lauper wasn't as sexy as Katy Perry tries to be.
Nobody was sexy in the 80s.
Nope. What about Madonna?
No, she was there. Everyone was gross.
Everyone
had too much hairspray and they were all sticky.
Yeah, that's probably true.
They were just covered in scraps of fabric. That's what I feel like the 80s is. Like, no actual clothes.
There was just fringe everywhere.
Together patterns of clothes and hairspray is what the 80s was about.
Dang, I'm glad you didn't grow up in the 70s, so that way you didn't have to live through all of the 80s.
I didn't.
Yeah. That probably would have been bad for you.
I went straight for the 90s, which was... I mean, I can't even get into how bad that show was.
You wore a lot of flannel, is what I'm saying.
I did, actually. Like, why is Nirvana not coming and asking me to be in their band?
You were wearing a lot of flannel, reading a lot of books, and being a bully. You were very well-rounded. In such a small town, you had to wear a lot of hats.
Big fish, little pond. What can I say?
One of the things that I like so much about this film is I love the little, whether it's the booby traps or whether it's Data's little inventions. I just love seeing the little, almost like a mouse trap type stuff.
Yeah.
And that's always a lot of fun because you're just sitting there and I just remember having like a sense of awe of like, oh my God, what's going to happen? Like, oh, look how cool this is.
Yeah. And like they set up a pipe organ, bones.
Yeah.
Like, just a lot of fun elements too, like their little maze of what they have to get through.
That's so funny to me thinking about, like, I get, you know, when you watch it, it's cool because they don't play the right keys and the ground falls beneath them and all that.
Yeah.
But it's like, how in the hell would he set that up?
Right?
You know? Mm-hmm. Is it like explosions that are going off underneath in the dirt?
Or they're like attached to chains.
Or something. I don't know. Like how was One-Eyed Willie in his one eye able to lift all those boulders that crushed Chester Copperpot?
Right. It's pretty elaborate.
That are all the exact same shape somehow.
Chester Copperpot.
Yeah, who really pussed out.
Get this far?
He really was kind of a puss.
He was. They should have kept those baseball cards too, man.
Yeah, they should have. Lou Gehrig. And so one of the things that we haven't talked about yet is the character of Sloth, who is just the best.
Right.
And, you know, it was Anasant was like, kind of had the look on her face like, whoa, what the fuck?
Well, because he's creepy.
Because at first she's like, oh, is that the man that's jailed to the, or in jail, or it was, I think is what she kept calling it.
Chained to the wall.
And she's like, what's wrong with him? What's wrong with him? You know, when you couldn't see him.
Oh.
She saw him and was just like, ooh, he's weird. And I was like, yeah, well, he looks a little different. And then, you know, a few minutes later, she just, you know, had the sort of mindset of a child is, oh, he just looks different. Okay. And
yeah.
And didn't think anything of it, you know, and is laughing when he's saying Baby Ruth, knocking over Chunk.
Well, and you feel bad for him because everyone's an asshole to him. Mm-hmm. Except Chunk, you know, they share their love of sugar together. And he's like, Sloth, big heart, bigger head.
Mm-hmm. I love the fact that it's sort of like subtly teaches that diversity is a good thing. And that not everyone has to look a certain way.
Yeah, because he, you know, like, who else is going to lift the boulder at the end and let everybody crawl through his legs?
Yeah, and who's going to wear the S?
That's right, and do the knife down the sail.
Yes. So I do like all of that. I think that it's funny watching Data's little gadgets, because you watch him now and you're like, that is not working at all.
Right.
Like, this pinches of power my ass. There's no way that would hold you up.
I was saying, but my chatter teeth.
It's pinches of power is what it is.
Right, but they're just like basically chatter.
Yeah, the little chatterbox teeth that can somehow hold up like an 80-pound
Chinese child. Asian child. What do you think of Mikey's ultimate optimism?
Well, he is, you know, it's almost a little bit like Bastion from Neverending Story, to where it's like he's been damaged a little bit.
Yeah.
Or he just like cannot cope with this eventuality that they would have to move.
Yeah, he's in like huge denial.
Yeah, so he's like, no, everything's going to be fine. Like, I will not stand for it not being okay. And what's funny is, you know, is you are in the world of the movie and it's like, oh, you know, this whole neighborhood has to kind of move or whatever. And Anna says, well, why don't they just move somewhere else? They can still be friends. They don't have to live next to each other.
God.
And I'm like, oh, you're too wise, 6-year-old. That's not the way that the movie... They'll never see each other ever again.
Ever.
They'll all be homeless. That's what you have to understand.
Yes.
But yeah, I think that it's interesting, because I think that if he has more self-doubt, I think that it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Because he has to be the one that pushes them through.
Well, because everyone else doubts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's the one that never say die. Oh my god.
Goonies never say die. that's gonna be the show motto.
Plain label podcast, never say die.
That's true. I do like that, you know, Josh Brolin's character, Brand, is 16. And can't pass his driver's test, which,
right.
Come on, Brand.
Well, I mean, like, no offense, but his character doesn't seem like the sharpest knife in the drawer.
That's true. He is a muscly guy with the headbands and whatnot. And he can't figure out which one's Steph and which one's Andy when he's, like, trying to cuddle up on some boob at one point.
Oh, that's right.
And he's like, oh, sorry. And just goes the other way.
And he allows three or however many children to trap him with a springy arm exercise machine. So.
Yeah, that's true. I think that that's funny, because I think that for the majority of the film, except for little silly stuff like that, I think for the majority of the film, they have a nice brotherly relationship.
Yeah, I agree with that.
To where it's kind of like, oh, you little shit. Like, you know, I'm the big brother. I'm going to bully you around a little bit, but it's all kind of like in good fun.
Yeah. Like, you know, when he's sad, and because, like, I think he does have a moment where he's like, Brand, what if we have to move? And he's like, come on, limp lungs. And he, like, puts him in a nice headlock and drags him in the house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, so I do like that. I also like how you get the character of Mouth, who's the traditional all talk, but when it comes down to it, is scared out of his mind.
Right.
And I like that, because I think that That's one of the things that Corey Feldman can actually do is the, when he's all freaked out about the bugs on the wallet or whatever, or he's when he's playing scared and not wanting to do something, I think that he does that pretty well.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I don't care for his monologuing with the, this one's my wish. You know, that one, it's like, well, what did
this
you wish
for?
This
is my dream, my wish.
Yeah, it's like, what was your wish? That you were going to have, like, some naked ladies come see you? Or, like, what is it that you're wanting?
It was that he wouldn't have to spit water out of his mouth when he...
My wish is that I'd get to kiss the Martha Plimpton, who looks like a dude in this kind of...
It's true. I really am glad that he, at the beginning, though, put his tongue through that painting.
Holy shit.
That's commitment.
I do. That reminded me so much of Porky's. You know?
Yeah.
Except he wasn't sticking his dick through there, thank you.
He's like, woohoo!
Yeah. Because that's what he does in Porky's, and then the girls, you know, and then...
Right.
which is a much different film. Around the same time, though.
That's not my childhood favorite, though. I didn't watch Porky's until, like, a year ago.
Yeah, until we did it on this show.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
What did the show bring to you? It brought to you Porky's. An old boy.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, it's mandatory. It's in our contract, so we have to mention it once.
You have to mention old boy.
Yeah. So one of the other things that I think is interesting about this film, kind of behind the scenes, is this is a Richard Donner film. And Richard Donner is, you know, very well known as, the director of Lethal Weapon, as of the director of the first Superman film. He did Scrooged as well. Yeah, he did The Omen. You know, he's done a lot of films, and a lot of good films. He did The Toy with Richard Pryor. But he did, he did the first three Lethal Weapon films. He did Maverick, Conspiracy Theory, actually did all four Lethal Weapon films, 16 Blocks, you know, et cetera. But I like him because, he strikes me as just like an 80s sensibility. Cause I think about him as this and Superman and Lethal Weapon is what I think about him as.
Sure.
And they all have, even though Lethal Weapon's a little bit dirtier, they all have this kind of clean look at the 80s or at the area that they're in, I guess.
Well, like nothing, I guess I haven't seen, I don't think I've seen all the Lethal Weapons, but like, shit doesn't get too real, right?
Well, not really. I mean, Riggins is kind of, or isn't it, is it Riggs? Yeah, Riggs, not Riggins. I'm getting Friday Night Lights in there.
Mm.
Ooh, if they remake it, there's your Riggins. Your Riggs.
Shit.
Right? You get all...
It would obviously be Channing Tatum.
You get him in there. And then you gotta get some black man who's almost retired to say, I'm too old for this shit.
I would get Morgan Freeman.
He is too old for that shit, though.
That's why it'd be hilarious!
You'd just be like, oh, God. I'm just doing one take, guys, just so you know. but anyway, I like that his sort of sensibility is that everything's kind of gonna be okay.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, I don't feel like I feel safe when I'm watching his films.
Right, it's not like Game of Thrones where, like, anybody's dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. We're still, gonna get to that soon.
I didn't spoil anything for you by telling you that everyone dies.
Okay, good.
Okay.
And then, so it's a, you know, it's a Richard Donner directorial effort, but it is, a story by Steven Spielberg, and it is a screenplay by Chris Columbus, who, you know, Chris Columbus did
America,
Home Alone, and Harry Potter, and Mrs. Doubtfire, and
damn,
you know, he's either the producer, director, writer, like he's, you know, he's in a lot of stuff like that. You know, he was the director of both the first two Home Alone films.
Has he done recently anything?
Well, he's announced that he's doing in 2015 Mrs. Doubtfire 2.
And, okay, what else has he done recently?
The last film he did was Percy Jackson and the Olympians.
Ooh, I like that one.
The Lightning Thief. And he did I Love You, Beth Cooper, which is a fucking terrible movie.
Yeah.
And he did the first two Harry Potter films.
That's right.
So he hasn't been as prolific as he once was, but...
Because he makes the money, he doesn't need to make any more.
Oh yeah, he made all the money. I mean, he did, he also did Gremlins. He wrote Gremlins.
Man.
And Gremlins was one that was at one point up for this, but I think I'm going to pass.
I mean, he wrote Gremlins. That's a true story.
Oh, okay. Well, he told the true story of Gremlins.
The epic of Gremlins.
Yeah. So getting back to Goonies and towards the end, like I wanted to go down this water slide so badly.
Who does it?
God, every time I see it, I'm like, oh, that would be such a sweet water slide.
It would.
God dang.
What, did they put it at Universal Studios? Because they should have.
I don't think that they did.
Oh, they're missing out.
Yeah. Speaking of that, you can go to in Germany, I guess you can still go and you can ride on the back of Falcor.
No, you're right. I did not go to Germany and ride on the back of Falcor.
But you could.
You can still do that?
Yeah.
Wow, they need to let that one go.
It was a big deal. So I'm sure what people are thinking about, Disneyland.
Well, I'm sure in the 80s, like, riding the back of that dragon, little kids would have shit their pants.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like 2014, guys.
Okay. Well, what else did Germans have to do? Nothing. Wait.
Are we talking positives or negatives?
Trying to keep it positive.
Okay.
Trying to keep it non-political.
And the water slide, yes.
Yeah.
And so then they find all of the treasure that you could ever think of wanting.
All of the treasures. Oh my goodness. So many treasures. And I do like that, I like how all of the skeletons of all the dead people are just completely clean as could be.
Sure. Well, so, they've been picked over by
worms and shit.
I don't know.
Whatever it would be. I do like that the vessel is still seaworthy.
Yeah.
It still floats, so that's good.
Just waiting for Mikey and Bran.
Just waiting for Chunk and Sloth.
Right.
The real A-Squad. So I do like that. I think that this is one of the films where I can watch it. I can watch, any amount of it. And I can just sit there with a stupid smile on my face and just have fun watching it.
Oh, yeah. You want to hear a funny story?
Yes.
So we were in college, surprise, and we were going to a party, another surprise. And we were down in the North Bottoms, and we couldn't find where the house was because everybody lived down there at the time. And we walked into the wrong house, but they were watching Goonies, so we stayed.
Nice.
Did not know them. And we're like, oh, we brought beer in. We're like, oh, you guys are watching Goonies? Can we watch? And they're like, yeah. So we just like sat there and watched Goonies with these people. And then after it was over, we just said bye and left.
Wow.
Yeah.
Awkward at the beginning and the end of that.
Not really. You're drunk.
All
right. Right. Bringing people together.
One of the other things that, it's kind of inevitable. And we talked about how the Neverending Story had two shitty sequels that in 2007, Sean Astin was like, oh, it's absolutely a certainty that they're going to do a sequel, that they're going to do Goonies 2.
What?
Corey Feldman had said in 2008 that no, there's not a Goonies 2. It's just not going to happen. And then in 2010, there was a release of The Making of a Cult Classic, The Unauthorized Story of the Goonies. It's a DVD that apparently you can find or rent or do something with.
How exciting.
And that had Richard Donner saying that a sequel is a definite thing, and it would involve as much of the old cast as possible. It will happen. We've been trying for a number of years, he says. And then in April 5th of this year, Richard Donner again said that a sequel is in the works, and he hopes to bring back the entire cast. So, all of that being said, what would you think? Would you want to see it? Would it be like these are now the parents and their kids have their own adventure?
Right. It would obviously have to be a girl meets world kind of a deal.
Yeah. And so would you be interested in that, or would you be leave it alone? And
I would be both. I'd be like, let it be a classic. And then I would fight and bitch the whole way to the movie theater when I went to see it.
Nice. That's the American way right there.
What do you think? I mean, like, I don't know what they could possibly do to make it, like, as amazing as the first one.
I feel like that they should just leave it alone and just let it be what it has become. Just let it be a cult classic that everyone around our age has seen. And just let that be enough. Like, you don't have to make sequels and prequels and reboots of everything.
Dead horse.
Yeah. You know, because I don't know, like, I feel like you start to make, like, an Indiana Jones 4, or you start to make, you know, sequels or continuing stories of things that don't need to be continued, and it would just be...
Well, the other thing about the Goonies is, like, it ended happily with everyone able to stay at the Goondocks. Mm-hmm. So, like, what are they going to do? Bran and Andy have, like, 8 kids, and he's, like, unemployed. Like, I don't understand, like, what the next step in this is going to be.
Well, Brand was the, you know, it was Josh Brolin and Old Boy, so it could have been, like, that Chunk was the guy that had captured him in the American remake of Old Boy.
I want you to stop.
It could have been a thing, I'm saying.
No.
It's Old Boy, a.k.a. Goonies 2.
Nope. Stop.
But they would, but nowadays they wouldn't have a character like Sloth. They wouldn't have a big fat kid that you make fun of the fat kid that he's fat. Yeah, which, by the way, he would just be slightly overweight now. He wouldn't be considered fat.
Right.
You know, he's the normal now. He's not a fat kid.
He's just a kid from Wall-E.
Yeah, he's not even that. Like, he's just like of average size compared to what kids are like now.
I just don't. Yeah, you're right. I think like I said, I would go and be pissed about it.
Oh, sure. Don't get me wrong. I would definitely see it. I would be very curious about it. I would not be, you know, I would be one of those doubters like you were saying about, why do they do this? I don't want to see it, but then I would get there eventually.
What if it was amazing?
That would be great. I would hope for that.
What if Troy, from all these years, is trying to get him back for that toilet prank?
Daddy!
Which,
why would you, like, you're gonna call your dad in there what, to do what? Like, your pants are down?
Wipe my ass? I don't understand that either.
Yeah.
But, like, Stephanie goes off and she, like, isn't a Goonie anymore. She, like, lives somewhere crazy.
Well,
like,
she's raising Hope now, so.
Oh, man.
That's what she's doing.
Right.
They're all doing something. You know, Mikey ended up in Middle Earth. Whatever, that's an interesting story.
After he played football.
Yeah. After he played, that's true. Got his ass kicked for like the whole 90 minutes of that movie.
Yeah, he did.
So, alright, well, do you have anything else about the Goonies? Before we keep rambling on about it.
We could just talk about it all day, so let's not.
Yeah, I think that's the extent. I mean, I'm glad that we picked both of these movies. I think the Goonies is the movie that I've seen more and probably have more nostalgia for. The Neverending Story is fun, but it's one that I could get tired of quicker, I think.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know about this. Cause, you know, the Goonies is more fun. It's got more jokes. It's got more comedy. Action. It's got a broken pee-pee. It's got all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. Oh shit. What? It's got Chunk and Sloth. I think me and Brad are going as Chunk and Sloth for Halloween this year.
There it is. The Z-Lags, Chunk and Sloth for Halloween. You heard it here first. We'll put pictures up on the post for October.
We'll have to rock, paper, scissors on who's going to be who.
Well, I would think that Brad has to be Chunk.
Brad has to be Chunk?
Well, you wouldn't be a girl and be Chunk.
Yeah, but I would have.
You'd have to be lifting your shirt doing the truffle shuffle all the time.
Do you know me?
Well, not that you wouldn't do that, I guess.
I learned a new catchphrase this weekend, or a new motto.
Okay.
After one, I can feel it, and after two, anybody can.
Oh my god. It's terrible. On that note, if you have any comments for the show or movies that you'd like to hear us talk about, you can email us at plainlabelpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow the show over at Twitter under the handle @plainlabelpod, where you can follow me over there. I'm @ericwilliams79. And you can follow Rachel over there when she gets it figured out. It is @ladyzlag. We also have a Facebook page where you could like the show. Just search for Plain Label Podcast. If you enjoyed the show and wanted to help us out a little bit, you can head over to our website. It is plainlabelpodcast.tumblr.com. And over there, you're going to find an ad for Amazon. And we would like you to click on that ad, and it takes you over to Amazon's homepage. We would like you to bookmark that homepage. And then anytime you use Amazon to buy anything, it helps us out in the process, and it doesn't change anything for you. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back in 2 weeks with more childhood favorites.